That's it.
It's over.
Game over.
Game over, man.
It's over.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Jack Heinrich.
Man, a tough one for the Blackhawks. They played well through 40 minutes. But kind of the tale of this year and years past, not a complete effort for the Hawks. And they fall 3-2 in overtime. They do pick up a point, but this is the game they feel like they probably and probably should have won. I'm Jack Heinrich. This is your postgame show. We're going up till 3:30 here. We'll go back out to the Wells Fargo Center and bring in Charlie Romeliotis, who did a great job filling in for Troy. Charlie, this is a tough one here. The Hawks looked good. We were talking through 40 minutes. We're like, well, they got to play one more period, and unfortunately it didn't work out for them.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to allow me to do a game again after they blew this lead for the Blackhawks. Man, it was that's a tough loss. That really stings. You play decent for the first 40 minutes. I think we were talking about it in the first intermission. The first 7 minutes of hockey got dicey. The Flyers definitely came out. They had their legs going early. And then it was the first TV timeout and on. It felt like the Blackhawks finally got their legs, tilted the ice a little bit in their favor. And it wasn't pretty by any means, the first two periods for the Blackhawks. They were still being outshot. But it was just unfortunate that, similar to the last couple games, they're going into the third period with a lead for the third consecutive game. And for them to have a two-goal lead, again, we were talking in the second intermission, them not sitting on the lead, I feel like, would have been worse than just trying to go out and score the third goal. And we saw exactly that came to fruition. The Flyers scored to make it 2-1. This building livened up because it was, it was pretty quiet for the first two periods because the Flyers didn't give them much to cheer about. They even the fans even were booing them on some of the power plays.
Yeah.
They hold this team to a high standard, and so the Blackhawks unfortunately weren't able to protect the lead in the third period, and then they obviously lose in overtime.
Yeah, that's a tough one. It just seemed like it was going so good. You said that was a good penalty for Vlasic because he stopped the scoring chance, but I mean, it's tough 4-on-3 in overtime. I mean, there's only three guys out there, and they just spread them out, and then Michkov was able to find the back of the net.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's not... I personally think if I was Vlasic, I would have tried to take the penalty there,
right?
Because he was caught flat-footed, and that was going to be a clear 3-on-1 opportunity the other way. So Vlasic tried holding Konechny to prevent the odd man rush the other way. Konechny ended up pulling away just a little bit after that. But Michkov ends up scoring the overtime winner for the Flyers after he was a healthy scratch for a couple games about a week and a half ago. So good for his confidence, but just unfortunate. I thought Peter Mrazek was sensational. He made some really high quality saves for the Blackhawks. And unfortunately the fourth line, I mean, they were excellent in this game. Pat Maroon, Craig Smith, and Lucas Reichel. Maroon and Reichel each had a goal and an assist. Reichel had 5 shots on goal. I think that might be a career high for him. But he was excellent. It was just unfortunate the Blackhawks didn't come away here with 2 points.
Yeah, I mean, definitely his best game of the season, I would think, too. So it's good to see for the Hawks. And then I guess now, what is it, 12 games now for Connor Bedard without a goal? And
yeah,
he made a good defensive play. I heard you talking about it with John, lifting the stick in third period, but just can't seem to get something going here.
Yeah, he had 6 shot attempts, but none of them hit the net. It was 4 missed shots, and then 2 were blocked. So unfortunately for him, Luke Richardson ended up moving away from him with Dickinson and Anderson. It was in the second period. He ended up playing the rest of the game with Taylor Hall and Teuvo Teravainen. And I'm not sure what Luke is going to say after the game, but I don't know the reasoning behind it, because it's not like they were playing terrible in the first period. I thought the Blackhawks really settled things down. I wonder if it was just to get away from the Sean Couturier line for Philadelphia. But at the same time, the Flyers have the last home change, so I don't know if that would have played a huge role, although it was interesting that Philadelphia kept the Couturier line on Dickinson's line and not moved him to Bedard's line. So maybe they were trying to generate some offense. I think if you would have asked Luke Richardson, he would have wanted Jason Dickinson
Definitely.
And Joey Anderson on Sean Couturier's line to prevent them from generating any sort of offense. But Connor Bedard, I think the difference between this game and the last few games is Bedard generated shot attempts. He had 6 of them total. The last game, he had 0 shot attempts, which is, I think, the third time in his career that's ever happened. In one of the games, it was the New Jersey game where he fractured his jaw.
Right.
So it's doesn't even count, really, because he only played like 3 minutes before leaving. But, yeah, so maybe this potentially propels him into the next game where he was able to get some shots off. But even so, just thinking about it, it felt like most of them were from the perimeter. So, yeah, I'm sure he's having a tough go right now, and I'm confident that once he finally breaks through, the floodgates are potentially going to open for him.
Yeah, I feel like a weight lifted off his shoulders. Do you think the lines change again? Like, do you think this is something permanent with Bedard and Teravainen and Hall? Or, I mean, it seems like Luke Richardson's been changing the lines after, I don't know, every loss or every other loss, something like that.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the fourth line definitely going to stay the same.
Oh, yeah.
They were excellent. But yeah, as far as the top nine, which I think is the most important question, it's a good question. And I wonder, too, if Philip Kurashev draws back into the lineup on Wednesday against Dallas, because he's been sitting for a couple games, just maybe get a different look. Maybe he comes in and provides some extra juice for the Blackhawks. But we'll see what Luke Richardson does. The fortunate part is they'll have an off day on Sunday, and then they'll get 2 days of practice, Monday and Tuesday, before Wednesday's game. So, unfortunately, they're going to have to sit on this for a little bit, but for the Blackhawks, maybe getting some practice time isn't the worst thing.
Yeah, definitely. Hopefully, they can figure that out. I mean, they've been saying a lot of the right things, and that we need to put full 40-minute efforts. What do you think? You think it's just them not trying, or not? I mean, obviously they're trying, but like not going to win the game, or just trying to protect the lead. Do you think that's been the issue, or the lulls in between them, like in the middle parts of the game?
Yeah. Well, even when we talked about the first 6 minutes of the hockey game, I would like to see the Blackhawks be the team that comes into a building and they're the ones being the aggressors and not trying to wait out the game to see how the game is developing. I mean, fortunately, they did settle down after that first TV timeout. But it would be nice to see the Blackhawks just come out and be the
throw the first punch.
Yeah, be the one that throws the first punch and not the one waiting to see how this game is developing. So I think that's, for me, you would like to see that. I mean, they did score the first 2 goals, obviously, but they kind of survived that first 7 minutes thanks to Peter Mrazek, and then they were able to settle into it. So I would like to see the Blackhawks get a little bit better in that area.
Definitely. All right, Charlie, you did a good job filling in for Troy. This was fun, a little musical chairs for one day. So even though it didn't come in a win for either of us, we're still searching for that first win. But it was fun, and you did a good job.
Thanks, man. You did a great job as well. Thanks for pinch hitting for me.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have me sitting next to you like I did the first couple of games, where I was learning from you. It was a fun day here in Philly. Unfortunate result, but I had a fun time. John Weidemann took care of me. And you did great, too. So looking forward to coming back home to Chicago.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it. And then we got Blackhawks Live Monday, so we'll talk then.
Awesome. Thanks, Jack.
All right, thanks, Charlie. That's Charlie Romeliotis filling in for Troy Murray out at the Wells Fargo Center. And, yeah, just a tough one here for the Blackhawks, up 2-0 going into the third period. It felt like a lot of this talk in the locker room after the games and throughout these past couple of years has been, we need to put together a full 60, can't go through lulls and stuff. And like Charlie said, they had a little bit of a slow start the first couple minutes of the game, but they played well after that and was able to get that 2-goal lead, and they just didn't go and win it. They kind of played not to lose instead of going to win, and unfortunately came back to bite them, and probably more of the same. They'll be like, we got to play a full 40. So that's something the Hawks got to hopefully learn soon. I mean, this is a more veteran team than in years past, not as many younger players. So that's something that they've got to fix. And I mean, Peter Mrazek, Charlie mentioned it, he played really well for the Hawks again. 37 total shots by the Flyers from what I'm seeing on the stat sheet. I'm not sure if they changed anything. He stopped 34 of them. And I mean, in that third period, the Flyers really turned on the pressure, and the Hawks couldn't get more zone time and kind of playing on their heels. And I agree with what Charlie was saying. You got to throw that first punch, and sometimes you got to go win the game instead of playing to protect the lead. It's a hard balance and it's a hard game, but the Hawks have struggled with that at times, and it felt like through two periods that the Hawks were turning a corner. They just needed to put together 20 minutes in that third period and try to build off it. That's the thing with this team. They've been so up and down. They'll play like they played the defending Stanley Cup champions on Thursday. They played very well defensively, holding that team to just one goal, and they're able to get the 3-1 win. This game, they start out and they get up to that 2-0 lead, and they give up two goals in that third period. And once that first goal is scored, and I was talking to Charlie in that second intermission, he said the next goal in the game is going to be big either way. So, and the Flyers got that goal, and then very quickly after that, they got that next goal to tie it up, and then the Hawks were able to force overtime. But it hold off the Flyers, really. They were trying to end it in regulation, but they at least get that 1 point. But they want wins as they keep going on and trying to advance in this rebuild. Like Kyle Davidson said, they want to win more games, but it's just been a struggle on the offensive side. Just one or two goals a lot recently, and that's the game they've been trying to win, is those low-scoring games where the offense has kind of been at a premium for the Hawks as they're trying to figure it out. But as we've talked about, and you're probably well aware, Connor Bedard has not scored in now 12 straight games. And I know he's frustrated. He's such a great player. He's trying to figure it out as a young kid and a 19-year-old kid. And hopefully he can – and I agree with Charlie. So gifted and so good as a goal scorer that if he gets that one goal, hopefully the floodgates open. He just feels like he got that heavy weight lifted off of his shoulders. And just looking back to some of their recent games, the Hawks, since that win in Anaheim on November 3rd, they've scored one goal, two goals, one goal, two, one, and two. So offense has really been at a premium. And on that road trip out west, they were able to get back-to-back wins against the Kings, a comeback win, win 4-3 in a shootout. And then against Anaheim, they were able to win 4-2. But since then, the offense has been struggling, and that's why Luke Richardson's been mixing up the lines, trying to find something to work. And I know he's just trying to find something to stick at this point, but at some point, you kind of want to give Bedard and some of these other guys a chance to get that chemistry with each other and not just be moving game to game. I'd like to see – it was good to see Bedard with Taylor Hall and Teuvo Teravainen. I mean, that's why you brought Teravainen in, to maybe be with Bedard, but it would be good to see Tyler Bertuzzi maybe get some time with him. Bertuzzi spent most of training camp with him until like the last week on that line, and then he hasn't really been with him really at all this season. So maybe moving him up there and try to help both of them. I mean, Bertuzzi's been in a little bit of a slump this year as well. So it's hard right now because the Hawks have changed the line so much, and they're trying to find something, but the offense just isn't generating very well at the moment. So the Hawks lose 3-2 in overtime. They do pick up a point, and now they don't have a game till next Wednesday at the United Center when they welcome in the Dallas Stars for the first time this season, and then they're at the Minnesota Wild. So that's two tough games right around Thanksgiving on the Wednesday and Friday around Thanksgiving, and then they have a back-to-back at home against the Blue Jackets, and they go to Toronto, who's been playing well. So tough schedule here, and then Boston comes in, Winnipeg at New York, so a little East Coast swing. So some tough opponents coming up for the Hawks, but they've raised their game against the opponents. The higher in the standings, they raise it. So hopefully they can try to figure that out, but we got more to get to here on the Blackhawks post-game show. You're listening to 720 WGN. Back here on the Blackhawks postgame show, Flyers beat the Hawks in overtime 3-2 out at the Wells Fargo Center. Jack Heinrich filling in for Charlie Romeliotis, who did a great job on the call with John Weideman, but couldn't bring home a win, unfortunately. The Hawks fall in overtime. They do get a point out of it. On the text line from the 773, say, great program, John and Charlie. Bedard will break out of his scoring slump. He is taking too much responsibility for what is wrong with the scoring. We forget he's only 19 years old, and he's still growing and has to get stronger. Kane was bigger. He had Taves and Keith and Seabrook and Sharp. That does put in perspective. He is only 19, and he does seem like he is shouldering a lot of the burden. I think Charlie and I have talked about that on Blackhawks Live. And he's just so mature for his age that and he knows what kind of player he is. So he, I think he does sometimes take on more than he feels more responsible when they lose. I think he said that in a couple of his media availabilities, that he feels responsible when they're not losing. And that's a lot for a young kid, especially on a roster that is still not where some of the young guys are still not there, where they're going to be when they want to compete. So it's tough for Bedard right now, but hopefully he can get a goal soon, and I think that'll help him a lot, like me and Charlie were saying. So we know he's going to work hard, because that's what Connor Bedard does, staying before and after practice. All right, we're going to get into the highlights of tonight's game, and it started off really well for the Hawks. Lucas Reichel had a really good game, and in the first period, he got a great feed from Patrick Maroon, and he was able to finish it to give the Hawks a 1-0 lead.
Couturier back into the Hawks on the left wing side. Fed it to Konechny from the top of the right circle. He sent it to the front of the net. It was into the skates of Tippett. The other way come the Hawks. Maroon put it down beside the net. Reichel shoots. He scores! Lucas Reichel opened himself up near the bottom of the right wing circle and took an outstanding feed from Patrick Maroon across the goal mouth and flips it in behind Kolasov. The Hawks will take a 1-0 lead here in Philly.
Lucas Reichel, breaking his own goal drought of 10 games, was able to get the goal and get the Hawks on the board, so they were able to take that 1-0 lead into the first intermission. The Hawks throwing that first punch and being able to go off 1-0. And then the second period, the Hawks killed off two penalties. They're big penalty kills. Nolan Allen had both the penalties, had one right at the end of the first period, and then he got out of the box. And a couple minutes later, he had another penalty call. But the Hawks killed off both of them. And then later in the period, Patrick Maroon was able to light the lamp for the first time as a Blackhawk.
Frank Smith got it ahead. Maroon to Reichel on a breakaway over the flyer line. He fires a shot that goes just wide. Reichel was looking for a pair. Smith in the right corner to Maroon, right circle. Backhand, he scores! Patrick Maroon with his first Blackhawks goal. Fired it from the right circle, and this eludes the goaltender Kolasov. 2-0 in favor of the Hawks, and Maroon scoring for the first time since last season.
Yeah, Patrick Maroon, him in that fourth line with Lucas Reichel and Craig Smith had a very good game, getting the scoring going for the Blackhawks. So Maroon gets his first, and the Hawks took a 2-0 lead into the second period intermission. And then in the third, as me and Charlie were talking, we wanted to see them go out and try to win this game. And unfortunately, the Flyers came out ready to play it. They were a little slow in that first and second periods, and they came into the game having lost their last two at home, and they came out in that third period on fire and wanting to turn it around. They outshot the Hawks 37-21, and in the third period, they really turned up the pressure, and it started with Sean Couturier getting the goal for the Flyers.
Here's Ristolainen, put the puck from the right circle in front of Couturier. He deflects it past Mrazek, and there goes the shutout. Flyers are on the board, trailing 2-1. The goal at 7:27 of period number three.
Couturier gets the goal, his fourth of the season. And once that goal got in, and they were, I could hear it during on the call when John and Charlie were going, they had that power plays and that second power play in the second period. You could hear some boos in that Philly crowd. You know how the Philly crowd is. They expect a lot from their team, and they're letting them know how they felt about it. And then Couturier scores. You could feel the game start to change. And then really quickly after, Noah Cates found the back of the net for his first goal of the season.
Brink right circle. Carries down behind the net. Around to the left circle. Sets up the top of the circle for York. He ends up being slammed into the near corner boards by Crevier. Brink got it back. Left point to Cates. High slot. Fires. He scores. Well, well, well. Two quick goals by the Flyers, and they're right back in this game. This one comes at 10:05, and we're now tied at two. For the longest time, Peter Mrazek had held the Flyers at bay, but the Flyers strike with two goals. This one a perfect screen in front of Peter Mrazek. He never saw the shot.
And just like that, the game was tied at two, and you could just feel the momentum completely take a 180 into the favor of the Flyers. And the Hawks and the Flyers were able to hold each other off, and they were able to get into that overtime. So the Hawks did a good job fending off a last push there to at least keep this game to go to overtime and get at least a point. But in that overtime. The Hawks did win the faceoff, but turned it over pretty quickly. And Alex Vlasic, as Charlie was saying, he liked that penalty to stop a scoring chance for the Flyers. And I understand that, because if they have a clean look at the goal, you're trying to stop him and at least live for another day, even if it is a penalty. So they tried to do that, but unfortunately, Metev Michkov, the young rookie for the Flyers, was able to win it for him.
Sandheim moving down to the right wing half boards, gave it back to Matvei Michkov, high slot. The Sandheim right wing circle. Here's Sandheim holding. Got it to the line to Michkov. Michkov now at the right point. Moving top of the right circle, gave it to Sandheim, high slot. Drops it beside the net. Konechny fed it in front. Michkov shoots and scores. And the Flyers win the game in overtime. Konechny to Michkov, and the rookie put it in behind Peter Mrazek. Flyers win the game 3-2.
Tough one there for the Hawks. Yeah, Michkov got on the side, and I mean, it's a 4-on-3 power play, and he got free next to Mrazek, to Mrazek's left, and he was able to knock it in and give the Flyers a 3-2 lead, or 3-2 win, because it was overtime. So the Hawks get the point, but the Flyers get the win, and it's a game that felt like that the Hawks could get 2 points out of, and they just weren't able to do it. And it's just something that's troubled this team the past 2 years, has been closing out games that they've been up in, especially in the third period when the pressure rises and teams start to turn on the pressure as they get desperate for a goal. And the Flyers were able to get a few to tie it up, and then they get the game winner. So tough one for the Hawks. Another text here from the 815. I've been a supporter of Richardson for the past few seasons, but his aura seems to be wearing off. Good use of aura there. It'd be good to keep him in the organization, but would it hurt to take a look at Jim Montgomery? Something needs to change to get Bedard producing. And Charlie's talked about a lot about this after losses. And Luke Richardson, I mean, this isn't how it's wanted to go. They wanted it to go this year, but it's still a team that was finished second to last in the standings last year, or third to last, I think it was. Anyways, in the bottom third of the league. And they've added a bunch of veterans, and I admit, even you're like, oh, like it looks like they're going to be a lot better. But even if they're, and I think Charlie made this good point on Blackhawks Live, even if you go 20 points more, they're still at 71 points and out of a playoff spot. So it's unfortunate. I do think they need to do something to get Bedard going. That's got to be their main focus. But I'm not sure if they get rid of somebody if they fired Luke Richardson, I'm not sure who they would bring in to do that. So, or who's out there, or who would be a good fit mid-season. So he's trying to figure it out with the line, so we'll see what can happen. And I get why fans are frustrated, because it's been a while since the Hawks have been good, and now you have a superstar in your team like Bedard, and he's starting to struggle, and that definitely warrants more attention, because he's the face of your franchise, and you want him to be playing as well as he can, and not stunting his development at all, because you want him to turn out to be one of those superstar players going forward. But hopefully he can get off the goal schneid, and I know that's bothering him and he's working towards it, but just a tough time for him facing some adversity, and hopefully he could produce in some other ways and maybe find the back of the net. He's got a few days off here, maybe look at it and figure out what's going on, maybe look at some video, get some practice time in. Like me and Charlie were talking about, they got a couple days of practice coming up here before the game against the Stars, a team that they have not fared very well against this year. In two games in Dallas, they've struggled with, but we'll see. They got a couple days of game plan. We got more to get to here on the Blackhawks postgame show. This is Jack Heinrich filling in for Charlie Romaliotis. You're listening to 720 WGN.
McKayev in the high slot to Vlasic, left circle, fires, and it's a high shot, was blockered away by Kolasov. Flyers come back up ice 3-on-2, led by Farabee over the Hawk line to Konechny. He put it in front of the net, oh, and Mrazek is down with a miraculous save on Frost, 5 feet out in front of the Hawk net. We get a look at this replay. The puck laid there, and Morgan Frost came across, picked up a pass from Konechny, and wired it right into Peter Mrazek. Mrazek was down in perfect position to make that save.
That was today's Save of the Game, sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at ComEd.com/PoweringBiz. And Peter Mrazek was really good once again stopping 34 of 37 shots, especially in those first two periods. He was good keeping them off the board, but that big push, he had a lot of shots coming at him, and unfortunately for the Hawks, three of them found the back of the net. Hawks lose to the Flyers 3-2 in overtime. Mrazek's played very well, and he missed the game on Tuesday due to a personal matter, and he didn't have a practice or a morning skate either before the game on Thursday, and then they didn't have, or they had a practice yesterday, a quick practice before they traveled. So not a lot of time on the ice for Mrazek this week, but he played very well on Thursday against Florida, allowing one goal, and then tonight against the Flyers, or today, excuse me, against the Flyers, played well. But unfortunately, just feels like the theme the past couple years, the goalies played well, but just so many shots allowed by this Hawks team. Mrazek was doing all he could to keep them in the game, and offense is at a premium right now for the Hawks, and when three get in the back of the net with the way they're playing, it's hard for them to get some wins here. Going back on the text line in the 847, they said, "Hi, love your broadcast team. I feel like players that play with Bedard are getting penalized if Bedard isn't playing well. Kurashev / others need to stay on one line, not move up and down the lines. Richardson constantly moving the lines doesn't give them any continuity." I do agree with the line shuffling. It feels like a lot right now, and I understand why Luke Richardson's doing that, just because they've struggled so much on the offensive end. He's just trying to find anything that sticks, but they might need to give these guys a few more games to build some chemistry and know where they're going to be on the ice so they can try to build that continuity. Like you said, I think that's a good point. They need some like that. And like I was saying earlier in the post-game show, it'd be nice. I think I'd like to see Tyler Bertuzzi come up with Bedard. You signed Bertuzzi to that big contract in the offseason, and he's a guy that can go to the front of the net and get those goals, those greasy goals in front of the net. And he's a tough player. He could protect Bedard as well. But Luke Richardson is trying everything and anything, but it might be a little too much change. So we'll see how the lines look at practice on Monday, and try to assess what they could do to try to fix this scoring drought that the Hawks have been on. And it's been a struggle for them this season, especially after they got home from that West Coast road trip. It's been really hard for them to try to score goals and get goals in the back of the net. They've been able to win a few games with some good defensive efforts. It's just been tough sledding on the offensive end right now. So maybe if they can find some lines that click in practice, and maybe they get some results in the game against Dallas, they could stick with them and try to keep building towards that. Looking around for some prospects and maybe some little more good news and some things to look forward to in the prospect system, is the Hawks have this deep prospect pool, and they're trying to develop. And there's a lot of players that are coming in that have some high offensive upside. Last night was a pretty good night for the Blackhawks prospects, just around in junior, in Rockford, and in college as well. From Bleacher Nation Blackhawks, shout out to them for putting this all together. There's some really good performances. Sam Renzel had a couple assists. Oliver Moore had an assist and a goal, which is good to see for Oliver Moore. A little slower start to the season. Shasha Bavere, their first-round pick from this year, had a goal and an assist for North Dakota. And then you're looking at some OHL. AJ Spellacy scored again. He did a really good job in training camp. He was one of the big surprises in training camp for the Hawks. He made it very far into camp before he was eventually sent back to junior. And Luke Richardson said that was because of how well he's been playing. Like, the whole plan all along was to let AJ Spellacy come into camp for a little bit and work with the NHL team, but he played so well that the coaching staff and Kyle Davis and Luke Richardson wanted to reward him for how well he was performing as such a young player in his first camp with the Hawks. He was a draft pick this year. They wanted to keep him in camp just kind of as a reward, and you could, other prospects could see that as well. If you play well, that they're going to reward you with that. So he made it pretty far in the camp, so it's good to see him get a goal. And then I mentioned this in the pregame show. Nick Lardis had 3 assists and 11 shots on goal. He's been really good this season. I think he has 22 goals in 21 games with the Brantford Bulldogs. So he's been very good. He was a third-round pick a couple years ago, I think 2023. And he's really had his stock rise the last few years as a guy that's just scored a bunch. And he had a really good camp as well, and he made it pretty far before the cuts were as well. Yeah, 2023 third-round pick, 67th overall. But he had a really good year scoring last year in limited duty due to an injury. And this year he's been healthy and just off to a great start, scoring those 22 goals in 21 games. So hopefully help is on the way soon. He has signed an entry-level deal. So it'll be interesting to see when the Hawks want to move him into maybe Rockford or turn him pro. So that's a guy to watch as well, someone who could play an offensive punch. I mean, this team needs an offensive punch, and hopefully he's on the way soon, maybe next year or something like that. And then Frank Nazar had a big game earlier this week, had a couple goals in a game. He's leading Rockford right now in points. He has 8 goals and 8 assists in 13 games, 16 points to lead the Ice Hogs. And Colton Dock is second on the team with 11 points, 5 goals, and 6 assists. So Nazar has been playing well. He had a good game yesterday in Rockford. I'm trying to find the official stats from that game, but he's been playing better as it's gone on, and he's one of the big guys that fans are excited about. The Hawks gave him a long look in camp as well, and they wanted him to earn that spot out of camp if he was going to be on the team, but they end up sending him down to Rockford, and he's starting to play pretty well down there, as I said, leading the team in points, and hopefully he's the future second line center for this Hawks team. That's a position that they're really going to need filled. And right now, Connor Bedard's not playing center, but you'd hope he can move back to center at some point once he gets going again. But if Frank Nazar could be that second line center, that would be pretty big for this Hawks team moving forward. But he's off to a good start with 16 points so far in 13 games with the Rockford Ice Hogs. So there's a lot of talent down there. Artem Levchinov's playing the first round pick, and Kevin Korchinski's down there as well. So a lot of talent down there, and hopefully they can make their way to the Hawks soon. We got one more break. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN. Last stop here on the Blackhawks postgame show, Jack Heinrich filling in for Charlie Romeliotis. Blackhawks follow the Flyers 3-2 in overtime. Lucas Reichel had probably his best game of the season. Plus two, he scored the first goal at 5 shots. Here's what he had to say after the game.
We got to keep it simple and just get out of the zone. And I mean, even at first, like, we had too many turnovers. They had so many chances, but we have Marzi in that, so he really saved us. And just like turnovers, I feel like wasn't good enough.
Is, you know, you guys going to the third with the lead, did you feel when they scored their first goal, Philly, that maybe it was a little bit of an uh-oh feeling?
No, yeah. I don't think so. I think we know what we have to do to win a game, I think. But they pushed really hard, and they had a little push after first, of course. But like I said, we just got play it more simple, especially at the end.
You get the goal in the first, Pat gets the goal in the second. Did you feel like there were more chances there, at least through the first 40 minutes, to kind of build on that lead that you sort of didn't capitalize on?
Yeah, for sure. I think we had a lot of chances. We just got buried. I mean, we had a 2-1 in the third. I got to put that in and a 3-1, but I didn't, and it was just, I mean, a good game by our line, but not good enough to win a game, so that wasn't. We just want to win games here. Like, we're not in the spot where we want to be, and we just got to win games here.
Yeah, Lucas Reichel there meeting the media after the game in Philadelphia. Reichel scoring a goal, snapping a 10-game goal drought. You could feel the disappointment in his voice, and he did have a chance on a breakaway. Wasn't able to score on, but I think Pat Maroon scored after that, or maybe had another chance. But 5 shots on goal. Really solid game here for Lucas Reichel. Hopefully he can build on that. The fourth line was good for the Hawks today, so hopefully they can build on that. The Hawks' next game will be Wednesday night at the United Center at 7 o'clock. They're hosting the Dallas Stars. Our next game preview is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time.
Good pursuit by Ben, but he fanned on his pass. Stankoven gets it back behind the net. Flip left side, shot, score, Ben! The captain doubles the lead, and it's 3-1 Stars.
Josh Bogard from Fox Sports Southwest, Stars TV. The Stars are playing later today in Tampa, and the Hawks will play them next Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving at the United Center. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circa Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. Big thanks to everyone involved with our broadcast today, the engineer Krista Flores for keeping me on the air and on track. Our producers of Alan Poppy and Patrick Hennessy, shout out to both of them for pulling double duty today. And then at the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia, the great John Weideman and Charlie Romeliotis had the call. Up next is Let's Get Legal with John Hansen. We'll talk to you on Monday night for Blackhawks Live. Next game is Wednesday at 7 o'clock. We'll talk to you then.